Right now, major brands are, well, they're willingly transferring thousands of dollars to everyday people filming blurry, poorly lit smartphone videos in their messy bathrooms.
Yeah, it's wild.
And meanwhile, perfectly produced million-dollar celebrity campaigns are just being entirely ignored by consumers. So if you're looking at your own marketing spend right now, or even just sitting on your couch wondering why your social media feed feels entirely different than it did 3 years ago, welcome to the new advertising reality.
The ground has completely shifted beneath our feet. I mean, it is a fascinating pivot in consumer psychology. We're watching the real-time collapse of traditional ad blindness, and at the same time, the rise of a completely new mechanism for how we discover, vet, and, ultimately purchase products. The old broadcast model is just failing because our brains have adapted to ignore it.
And that is exactly our mission today. We are taking a deep dive into a comprehensive guide from the SBC Tech blog to decode the modern influencer marketing playbook. We want to cut straight through all the noise to examine the most intense debate in the industry right now, which is this absolute collision between UGC user-generated content and those polished professional influencer campaigns.
Because as a brand, you are at a massive fork in the road right now.
Exactly. Do you optimize your budget for raw trust, or do you optimize for massive visibility?
And you really cannot make that choice until you understand the underlying mechanics of what you're actually buying in today's market. Because brands, well, they fundamentally misunderstand the assets they're purchasing.
How so?
Well, they treat a raw UGC video and high-tier influencer placement as variations of the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Right.
They're entirely different commodities, and they serve entirely different psychological functions for the consumer.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you're planning a campaign, you need to know exactly what is happening under the hood here. Let's look at the raw asset side first.
Sure.
So, our source material notes that in 2025, brands are spending an average of about $202 per collaboration to get a UGC video.
Which is incredibly cheap, comparatively.
Exactly. They take this unscripted, chaotic smartphone shot footage and they pump it directly into their paid ad funnels or their email flows. And the metric driving this is just wild. 85% of people trust this user-generated content more than branded content.
Yeah, and look at how your own thumb moves when you're swiping through a feed. I mean, our brains have developed this incredibly sophisticated defense mechanism against high production value.
Oh, totally.
The moment your visual cortex registers, perfect ring light illumination, flawless audio, and a pristine background, an alarm goes off.
It's like this is a sales pitch. Defend your wallet.
Exactly. Defend your wallet, keep scrolling.
Yeah.
But when the visual information is slightly imperfect, like a slightly messy kitchen or ambient room noise, or just a less than perfect camera angle, that defense mechanism doesn't trigger.
It bypasses the filter.
Right. Your brain categorizes the input not as an advertisement, but as a peer-to-peer social interaction.
Yeah.
So that $202 isn't paying for video quality.
Right. It's paying for the bypass of that mental ad blocker. It makes me think of an analogy, actually. A macro influencer campaign is essentially a sleek celebrity Super Bowl commercial.
Okay, I like that.
You know it's an event, it's designed to be seen by millions, but a UGC video, that's like a friend texting you a shaky video from a dressing room saying, "Hey, you have to buy this jacket right now."
That's a great way to look at it.
The Super Bowl ad has the reach, sure, but the text message has the immediate visceral trust.
Yeah, the Super Bowl comparison works perfectly for scale, but let's complicate that a little bit because a Super Bowl ad is still just a broadcast, right? The dressing room text is a direct transfer of social capital.
Oh, interesting.
And when you buy a UGC asset, you own that content. You can A/B test it, chop it into a 6-second bumper, run it for a year. You're buying a physical asset. But when you pay a professional macro creator, you are not really buying content. You're renting access to their distribution network for like 24 hours. You're basically paying for a temporary spotlight.
And that spotlight is broad because
Yeah.
people follow those massive creators for their lifestyle or their comedy, their drama, not necessarily because they are in the market for the specific software or, the skincare product you happen to be selling,
Precisely.
which forces a really critical question here. If you are renting an audience, how do you know if that audience actually cares?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. And our deep dive materials break this down into four distinct tiers of influence, and the data completely upends how we traditionally value audience size.
Because audience size is actually inversely correlated with audience intimacy.
Wait, really? Inversely?
Yeah. Let's look at the foundation of this pyramid, the nano influencers. We are talking about accounts with 1,000 to 10,000 followers. Historically, brands just ignored them. They thought they were too small. Today, they're the most potent conversion engines on the internet. They're pulling in massive 10.3% engagement rates on platforms like TikTok.
Wait, I need to push back on this definition. Anyone with 1,000 followers is an influencer now? I mean, my cousin has a hyper-specific tabletop gaming account where he just posts pictures of painted miniatures.
Okay.
He has maybe 1,200 followers. Are we seriously saying a brand should actively target him over someone with a verified checkmark?
Well, what's fascinating here is yes. Your cousin is actually the most valuable asset a tabletop gaming brand could possibly leverage.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have to strip away the vanity of the word influencer and replace it with parasocial trust. I mean, why does your cousin have 1,200 followers?
Because he paints really good miniatures, I guess.
Exactly. Because those people know he spends 40 hours a week obsessing over paint viscosity and brush techniques. When he says a specific brand of primer is the best, he isn't reading a script.
He's just sharing his genuine opinion.
Right. He is speaking from undeniable, hard-won authority. His 1,200 followers will literally pull out their credit cards based on his word alone.
Wow.
But if a celebrity with 5 million followers held up that same primer, the audience would instantly recognize the transaction and just ignore it.
That makes total sense. That is the raw power of the nano tier. And then moving one step up, you hit the micro influencers. So that's 11,000 to 100,000 followers.
That's the next level.
And the guide identifies this as the absolute sweet spot for campaigns. You still maintain a very high niche focus, but you gain enough scale to actually move the needle on inventory. Engagement rates here are hovering between 7 and 20%.
And that's because micro-influencers are in this sort of transitional phase.
How do you mean?
Well, they're large enough to have professionalized their content slightly, but they're still small enough that they're in the trenches, answering comments, building community, and actively maintaining that parasocial bond with their audience.
They haven't lost touch yet.
Exactly. They haven't alienated their base yet.
But then you cross the threshold into macro, so that's 100,000 to a million followers, and the math completely flips. The production value goes through the roof, but the engagement rate plummets to 3 to 6%.
Yeah, it's a huge drop-off.
And by the time you reach mega influencers, you know, the celebrities with over a million followers, the engagement per capita is just microscopic.
It is the inevitable dilution of a growing audience. Think about it like this. If you start a channel about vegan baking, your first 20,000 followers are hardcore vegan bakers.
Right.
But if your channel explodes and hits a million followers, those new people aren't all bakers. They just think you're funny or they like your kitchen aesthetic.
So the audience is watered down.
Exactly. The audience is no longer homogenous. So if a flower company sponsors you, the message is falling on hundreds of thousands of completely irrelevant ears.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because if I'm staring at a Q3 marketing budget, I have to look at the cold, hard math of that dilution. The data explicitly points out that a creator with 20,000 followers and a 12% engagement rate is a mathematically superior investment to a creator with 200,000 followers and a 1.5% engagement rate.
Let's run those numbers.
Yeah.
Because it absolutely proves why chasing vanity metrics is just burning through brand budgets right
now. Okay, let's hear it.
A 200,000 follower account with a 1.5% engagement rate yields 3,000 active interactions.
Got it.
A 20,000 follower account with a 12% engagement rate yields 2,400 interactions.
Okay, so 3,000 is still technically bigger than 2,400.
On paper, yes.
Yeah.
But those 3,000 interactions on the massive account are completely passive. It's a quick double tap as they scroll past.
Yeah.
The 2,400 interactions on the smaller account are high intent.
I see.
They are active questions in the comments. They're saves. They're shares. You are paying a fraction of the price for interactions that are actually hovering near the bottom of the purchasing funnel.
So it's like comparing a giant glowing billboard in the middle of the desert to handing a beautifully designed flyer directly to a line of people waiting outside a niche club.
That's a brilliant way to picture it.
Sure. Millions of bugs and tumbleweeds see the billboard. But the flyer is in the hands of the exact demographic that's already ready to buy a ticket.
Yes. And that billboard analogy perfectly highlights the difference between visibility and conversion.
Mm-hmm.
This is why our source material stresses strategic matchmaking so heavily.
Right.
You do not just throw money at a tier. You map the tier to your objective.
Exactly. If you're launching a brand new product, nobody knows what it is yet. You have zero social proof. So you deploy UGC videos as your paid ads to demonstrate the raw utility of the product.
Yep, start from the ground up.
And then you simultaneously activate a fleet of micro-influencers in that specific niche. You surround the target consumer with high-trust, peer-level validation.
But conversely, if you are a legacy brand rolling out a massive rebrand or maybe entering a new global market, the MicroStrategy is way too slow.
Right, you need scale.
You don't need niche trust. You need sheer omnipresence. That is when you deploy the macro and mega influencers. You buy the billboard.
Okay, but what if you're dealing with cart abandoners? You know, people who clicked your site, looked at the shoes, and left.
The retargeting phase.
Exactly. You hit them with retargeting. And there is a fascinating behavioral quirk here. Retargeting with raw UGC video ads drives a 4x increase in click-through rates compared to polished brand ads.
4x, that's huge.
It is, and the reason why is so clever. Because when that person sees the shoe again on their feed, it doesn't look like a desperate brand chasing them across the internet.
Right.
It looks like a random customer organically reviewing the exact shoe they were just thinking about. It completely reframes the interaction.
It creates this false sense of serendipity. Like, oh, wow, the universe wants me to buy these shoes.
Exactly.
But listen, none of this theoretical strategy matters if the execution is flawed. And this is honestly where brands consistently sabotage their own campaigns.
Where do they go wrong?
Well, they spend weeks finding the perfect creator with an incredibly authentic, quirky voice. And then they completely destroy that asset in the briefing phase.
Yes. The friction point of brand control, you read through the execution section of this guide, and the loudest warning is about how you brief a creator.
It's so critical.
If you hire someone for their authentic voice, you have to actually let them use it. But brands get terrified. The legal department gets involved. The PR team gets involved.
Always.
And suddenly, they hand this vibrant, unique creator a dense, 5-page corporate script.
Which instantly shatters the parasocial trust we just established as their primary value.
Yeah.
I mean, an audience can detect a tonal shift within a microsecond.
Oh, for sure. You can hear it instantly.
If a creator who normally speaks in rapid-fire slang suddenly pauses, looks directly at the camera, and says, "This product leverages synergistic technology to optimize my daily workflow," the illusion is completely dead.
Yeah, the audience swipes away immediately.
Brands need to understand they are providing guardrails, not dialogue. You give them the key features, you give them the prohibited claims, and then you just get out of the way.
Because if you want an actor to read a corporate script, go hire an actor. But if you want an influencer to actually influence their audience, you have to swallow your pride and let them translate your product into the native language of their community.
Absolutely. And, you know, that relinquishing of control is really difficult for traditional marketers.
Yeah.
Which is why the back-end tracking, the technology stack you use to measure the campaign, becomes the safety net.
Right.
You cannot manage what you cannot measure. And relying on vanity metrics like impressions is just a guaranteed path to a negative ROI.
Because an impression just means the video flashed on a screen for a fraction of a second while someone was doom scrolling. It means nothing.
Literally nothing.
The guide outlines a really robust tech stack for tracking actual measurable actions. Things like Upfluence for discovery, Collapster for sourcing UGC, and Aspire for end-to-end management. But the tool that really caught my eye is Hype Auditor.
Oh, yeah. Audience vetting is crucial.
We have to talk about audience vetting because the bot economy is a massive trap right now.
It is the dark underbelly of the industry.
Yeah.
Because brands used to pay strictly based on follower count, it created this massive financial incentive for creators to artificially inflate their numbers.
And running a creator through Hype Auditor to vet their audience quality is basically like running a Carfax report before you buy a used car.
That's a perfect analogy.
You might fall in love with the shiny exterior, you know, and the 500,000 followers, but you have to look under the hood. You need to know if the engine is actually real. If that creator bought 80% of their followers from a click farm, or if they're using automated engagement pods to generate fake comments, you are quite literally throwing your marketing budget into a furnace. You are paying to advertise to servers in a warehouse.
Yeah, a clean Carfax is the absolute baseline. But let's actually push that analogy a step further.
Okay.
Even a perfectly functioning engine doesn't mean the car fits the driver. You can use Hype Auditor and verify that 100% of a creator's audience is real, breathing human beings.
Right.
But if their demographic data shows the audience is 85% teenage males in Europe and you were trying to sell B2B accounting software in the United States?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That verified, perfectly human audience is still entirely worthless to you. Vetting isn't just about spotting bots. It's about verifying demographic alignment.
So what does this all mean for you, whether you're managing a massive corporate budget or just trying to scale a small business? If you take one strategic shift away from this deep dive today, it's that the entire UGC versus professional creator debate is a false dichotomy.
Totally false.
The smartest brands in the room aren't choosing a side. They are building a layered ecosystem.
It is a full funnel architecture. You don't choose between trust and visibility. You sequence them.
Exactly. Yes. You start at the bottom with a high volume of that $202 UGC content to aggressively feed your paid ad machines with raw, high-converting assets.
All right.
Then you layer in micro-influencers to seed the market with deep, niche, social proof. And finally, when the conversion engine is humming and you need to scale aggressively, you cap the pyramid by bringing in the macro creators for massive cultural visibility.
That is the modern playbook. But as you build that ecosystem, there is one fleeting detail buried right at the end of the source material that really demands our attention. Because it fundamentally threatens everything we have just discussed today. The guide briefly gestures toward the explosive, encroaching role of AI video generation in this space.
The ultimate wild card.
Think about the core premise of this entire conversation, the absolute superpower of user-generated content. The reason it bypasses our mental ad blockers, the reason it drives a 4 times higher click-through rate, is its raw, messy, deeply human authenticity.
Right. It's the fact that we perceive a real, breathing person on the other side of the screen.
Exactly. But we are rapidly approaching a threshold where AI can generate a video of a person sitting in their car, sipping coffee, and casually raving about a product. The lighting will be perfectly imperfect.
That's terrifying.
The ambient noise will be simulated. The slight stutter will be programmed in.
So if a brand can suddenly prompt a server to instantly generate 1,000 perfectly targeted, hyper-realistic, unscripted review videos for just pennies.
What happens to the entire economy of trust? When the very concept of human authenticity can be artificially generated at scale, and it is entirely indistinguishable from a real person's smartphone video, how will consumer psychology adapt?
That's a massive question.
Will our ad blockers evolve to distrust everything that feels raw? Or will the illusion of intimacy shatter entirely, forcing us to find a completely new, unfakeable metric for deciding what to buy?
That is a staggering reality to prepare for. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. As you are swiping through your feeds today, pay close attention to where your thumb stops.
Absolutely.
Keep questioning the mechanics of what you are seeing. Look out for how those micro-influencers are operating in your own niches. And the next time a shaky, poorly lit video pops up to tell you about a life-changing product, maybe ask yourself if you are watching a trusted friend, a strategic UGC campaign, or eventually just a very clever machine.